Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! Good Thursday morning. Welcome back, my friend. Congratulations. It is wonderful to have you back. I expect you to be drowsy and excited and sleepy and fired up all at the same time with the newborn.
Yeah, no,
I am. We missed you, Daddy.
No, I am. I'm
you know, yes, papi.
I'm a little couple hours in here and there. You know, I get a 2 hour, but as soon as I hear something, I jump up, you know, because I just, it's one of those weird feelings. I don't, even though I know she's in a bassinet and all those sort of things, it's just, you know, it's just, I'm watching over it. I got to make sure it's right. Then obviously Jennifer doesn't feel great for a lot of different reasons, you know, and so when you think about it, you're like, I gotta pay attention, I've gotta know what to do in these situations, and hadn't done it in a long time. So it's good though. She's a cutie. She's strong though, man. Gosh, she's strong. She's raising her neck already, and you know, I think she's what, 4 days now, raising her neck, and you know, you give her your pinky and she's pulling on it. I mean, it's good. Head full of hair. You know, got the mean mug like me.
So. Is it like riding a bike? Do you fall right back into it? I mean, you haven't held a baby in a minute. It's all that little baby stuff. I haven't done that in a long time. I wonder
jumping right back into it. It's a blessing, man. You know, you're bringing her into this world that's kind of crazy right now, but you know, it's good because of the time. There's conversations. You know, when I'm 60-something years old and she's graduating from high school, I could have those conversations about when you were born and, oh, my God, this is what happened. So it's all good to the good, man. It certainly changes and gives a different perspective on a lot of different things in life and how you plan and how you go about doing things. And, you know, it's just you start to get your it into order. You know, it's a good thing. It really is. I can't wait to all this is over with. As she grows, you get a chance to go to the beach and hang out and do all the sort of things. So instead of being an old man walking around with my pants pulled up to my chest, I'm gonna be a cool dad. You know, I got a frohawk. You know what I'm saying? I got a frohawk now, and so I'm a cool dad again.
So I just want you to know, I don't know if you heard, but I've already signed the paperwork and I've agreed to be her godfather.
You know, we talked about that, believe it or not. It's interesting you said that. I don't know you well enough to hand my daughter over to you.
You're going to be dead. What are you talking about? What are you're not going to know.
You know, not knowing you,
CTE.
Not knowing you well enough scares me because I've watched a lot of shows where people think they know people. Fear thy neighbor. You know,
it turns out all wrong. Well, it's great.
I think that you could be an honorary godfather. There's no question about it. I believe that LZ would 100% take her and do all the right things. But I know what you're really after. Of.
What?
I know what you're after. Ching ching.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. Oh, that was the old me, King. I was before.
Try to be the godfather. Maybe I can come up on something.
You know, one of those. Went out of Social Security office. Oh, yeah, I'm guardian. I'm a guardian.
So you guys been good, huh? The show's been good. You guys been talking about everything.
Show has been good, and your daughter, Key, is going to grow up in a world where you can't bring a Confederate flag to a NASCAR event. That's good news.
If
she turns out to be a race fan and she decides that she's going to go to a race, she's going to go to the track, and she and no one else is going to see a Confederate flag, because NASCAR yesterday did something that I really didn't think – I certainly didn't think they would do it as quickly as they did. And I was very skeptical that they would do it at all. they banned the Confederate flag from their tracks. This is a quote from the organization. The presence of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events runs contrary to our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all fans, our competitors, and our industry. Bringing people together around a love for racing and the community that it creates is what makes our fans and sports special. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties. It took a long time, far longer than it ever should have, but I guess that this is what you guys were talking about over the last couple of weeks, that this time is different. All the other issues that we've seen over years and decades, the flag never came down from NASCAR, and now it has.
It's a weird deal, man. And I always say this to you guys, either I'm dumb or I'm stupid. I got to be one, right?
Ding, ding.
Because, you know, I participated in a NASCAR commercial, oh God, with Mark Martin. This was years ago.
It had
a blast. I had such a blast doing it. And it was one of those deals where, and I've gone when I played Carolina and prior to Carolina, I've gone, oh, I think I've been to about three NASCAR events. I've been to the Indy 500, but I never realized or I never even looked at it like that. It was just like, oh, okay, it's NASCAR room. And obviously it was like four of us in the stands and we were working. Other than that, it was no real African-American fan base, but I never looked at the Confederate flag because I really just didn't. It wasn't in my face. Like, it wasn't something that was just waving around. It wasn't the big Washington State sign behind College Game Day everywhere you went. So I was kind of like oblivious to it. But then obviously, as I gotten older throughout the years, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then when, I don't know, what year was it, 2017, 2016? When they started snatching everything, they started snatching the Confederate flags down, the statues, all of these sort of things.
Yeah.
But NASCAR stuck with it. NASCAR didn't relinquish the Confederate flag. And now we're at a time where we're all aligned. And everybody says, well, you know, Raj mentioned us earlier that he didn't think NASCAR would do it last week or week and a half ago when this whole thing got
They did
really
it in 2 days, Keith. From the time that Bubba Wallace said it should come down, 2 days later, NASCAR said it's coming down. For NASCAR and its fan base and where the vast majority of those races are run, still, I know that it's spread across the country and there's a race out here in California. There's some races in other parts of the country. But for the most part, this is still a sport that is predominantly Southern in its existence. It is run in Southern states. It is run in rural communities. It is run in the part of the country that you would expect to see more Confederate flags than you would anywhere else, and they still acted incredibly quickly. 2 days after Bubba Wallace said, get rid of it, they got rid of it.
You would, too.
You got to remember, too, they've been having these conversations for a while. You know, it appears quick to us because it was so public the way that Bubba came out in the midst of what we've been, you know, experiencing as a nation over these past couple of weeks. But NASCAR has made attempts in the past to try to diversify his audience, recognizing that, you know, maybe making money off of being the races league isn't the best thing for your business plan, especially a country that's becoming more diversified. So I remember them reaching out to Black celebrities, Latino celebrities, trying to get them to not only come to games, but be seen with the drivers and interacting with them. I mean, Keyshawn's talking about his appearance, but their bigger push, their bigger diversity push happened years later after that. Where you can see, you know, I believe Snoop was in like one of the attempts of them trying to connect with hip hop and branch out a lot more. So you got to believe that among some executives anyway, the conversation about how problematic the Confederate flag is to their business model of trying to become more diversified, this gave them some cover because they can be caught up in this movement and maybe some of their more loyal fan base will understand what's happening right now. But trust, this has been approached many times before. I did a piece years ago for ESPN when I hosted my show, and I had Dierks Bentley on, who's a country singer, and Dale Jr. And the three of us sat in Dale's bar, and we talked about a whole bunch of things, the relationship between country music and NASCAR, but also, of course, you know, the issue of race. And I told Dierks straight up, I was like, I'm a big country music fan. I go to all the shows. I'm a big fan of yours. I was like, But when you see that flag, you don't feel like the music is for you. Mm-hmm. And he understood what I was coming from. I was like, that flag says Negroes are inferior. That's exactly what the leaders of the Confederacy said. Negroes are inferior, hence white supremacy. So that's what that flag represents. So I was like, if you want a bigger audience and diversify yourself as a musician, you need to address what's closing the doors, and it's that flag.
Well, I think NASCAR too. Also, you know, when a lot of these things, it also is a direct link to finances. And yes, NASCAR may have taken the flag away, but by no stretch of imagination, don't think that for 1 minute that finances didn't factor into the equation, because there's so many corporations that are now aligned in this particular movement for whatever reasons, that when you have a corporation like NASCAR aligned with Tide or Valvoline Oil or whatever the case is, you know, blacks and minorities and people that support blacks and minorities, they buy that stuff. And if you sitting back and you ain't saying nothing and you just chilling and you're not poking the bear with your power as one of these brands, and you allowing somebody that you allow to sponsor you continue to just support a Confederate flag, now you're going to come under fire. So it's all a trickle-down effect to everything. And people say, well, you know, how come this owner won't come out and talk, or how come this team won't say anything? Oh, when the sponsors start to say something, they're going to start to say something. It goes back to, it's almost like when the NFL got on the whole problem about kneeling and this and that, and because they were worried about the money. Now, all of a sudden, the sponsor's like, okay, well, we can't worry about that money no more from the NFL side. We got to worry about the world.
Yeah, but if you're waiting for the sponsors to dictate your response, then how sincere is your response?
It's not even waiting on them. It's just, it happens so fast and so quick, you don't have to wait.
All right, we'll continue that conversation. Plus, Reggie Bush is back in the USC family. Who deserves the credit? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
My daughter won't be listening to none of that. That's for damn sure.
I'd like to see you try to stop it from happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you figure out how to make that go down, please let the rest of us know. Key, we're glad to have you back, obviously, but in particular because Reggie Bush was reinstated as a member of the Trojan family yesterday. Of course, it's been 10 years since the disassociation penalty began. June 10th, 2010, USC had to disassociate itself. They had to vacate 14 wins. They lost 30 scholarships. They got rid of a national championship game. Reggie Bush had to give his Heisman Trophy back. But now everybody is back in the Trojan family. And to hear Mike Bone say, it's really nice to hear Reggie say, you know, sorry about what I did.
His remorse and his sharing the challenges of what this meant to him and the devastation he experienced, knowing that USC was heavily penalized because of the situations connected to his actions. And I think that was really important to us, and being able to hear that from him. And I'm anxious for him to continue to share his thoughts and views like he has recently, even as recent as today, but other stories that have come out about his situation, how he feels about it. And I salute him for his candor and putting that together.
Well, Am I missing something that Reggie Bush had to come with his hat in hand and say, please let me back? The damn clock expired. The penalty ran out. think of it as like this. Think of a hockey game. You get 2 minutes for high sticking. You don't have to say sorry to the guy that you did it. When 2 minutes is up, they swing the door open. You skate back on the ice. That's what this is. What part of this am I missing?
Yeah, the school and the athletic director obviously wants to take credit for the reinstatement, which if you followed the story from 10 years ago or Reggie Bush's career, you know that that is not true. You also know that Mr. Bone right there said that Reggie, for the mistakes that he made,
right.
Reggie didn't do anything. His parents did it. Okay, so they got his parents for doing it, which was essentially attached to him, but Reggie didn't take the money and buy the house. That wasn't Reggie's doing. That was his mother's relationship and his father's relationship with the marketing director. So it's a, you know, when you start saying things like that, you got to get your facts a little bit straighter than what you're presenting to the public that really may not know the whole story.
I'm trying not to slip into this dislike because we're really just meeting the man, but his inability to take advantage of the moment is really baffling to me. This was a gimme for a lot of reasons as a new AD. It was a gimme because, one, he's a beloved figure. Two, if you really have taken a pulse of your most successful and established alums, they don't hate Reggie. And three, if you knew the deadline was coming down the pipeline anyway and you needed a win, why not proclaim 6 months ago that we're bringing Reggie back? You could have played it that way and said, in the fall, we're going to have a big celebration. Then all of a sudden, it looks like you're thumbing your nose to the NCAA, even though you're not. But we wouldn't at least have known it right away. We could have felt good about you instead and give you the benefit of your doubt. But instead, you waited until the actual date that it expired to say something. And then when you said something, it wasn't, in my opinion, and to Key's point, it wasn't actually the right tone. It wasn't actually the right way to talk about Reggie. Reggie didn't do anything wrong, man. What he did was sustain your recruiting for like a decade after he left campus. That's what he did.
For the life of me, I don't understand how they're positioning this as, well, you know, Reggie realizes he made some mistakes, and Reggie has learned his lesson, and we're going to welcome Reggie back because that's what families do, and we give people second chances, and we want to make sure that everybody that's a member of this family has an opportunity to make the it, no. It expired to the day.
I know.
To the day. And to set it up with, well, Reggie thought that you know, he has regret and remorse over what happened, and it's glad to see that he feels that way, and now we can go back. It's just, it's crazy to me. Let's take a listen to Clay Helton, who says this has been a process to get ready to bring Reggie Bush back into the Trojan family.
Well, it's been a process that's gone 10 years, and a process that has taken patience on both parts that I thought all entities did in a first-class manner. And today is a celebration of a legacy of not only a great player, but a great person in Reggie Bush, somebody that has touched the lives of multiple generations. And I've had the opportunity and the honor of living in Southern California the last 10 years to be a part of USC. And I just see how many lives that Reggie touches. We're talking about one of the all-time greats of not only USC football history, but college football history. And a guy that is an unbelievable person. I cannot wait to be able to get him in front of our players and our team and young people to be able to share his knowledge of the game, but his knowledge of life too. So today is a day that was a process. It is a milestone, but it's a day of celebration, and it's a day of celebrating his legacy and what he means not only to the game of football, but to USC.
Guys, I'm really asking. I'm genuine. This is not rhetorical. What was the process other than just letting the time run off the clock? Because honestly, am I missing a piece?
Travis?
Do I not understand did they do something other than just sit there and go, all right, 9 years. Okay, we're down to Travis. Eight. Hey, guys, we got a month to go. Hey, it's a week. Hey, it's an hour. Hey, it's a minute. Reggie's back. Like, what did they do?
When Dr. Carol Fultz says, I'm going to make things right, she means it. She got to campus and bam, Reggie's back. Why are you hating
on
that?
It's a good thing that one of the top players in the school history is able to roam the sidelines. Well, he won't probably be able to do it this year, but roam the sidelines, you know, be at games. I wonder if they put his jersey back up. I wonder if his Heisman's back. I wonder if the records are back in the books. I wonder if all of those sort of things are back in the fold, or is it just simply his body is being able to be present around campus and on the football field or at practice, things of that nature. I wonder what whole scuttlebutt is.
The answer to your question is the second thing you said, that the Heisman Trophy does not come back, his records do not come back, the wins do not come back, that all of the vacating of his accomplishments are still vacated. We're still going to pretend that it didn't happen, even though we all saw them happen. I don't know what it means as far as having his jersey up there or whatnot, but as far as the Heisman Trophy goes, as far as his records go, we're still all going to pretend that it never happened, which makes this entire thing a farce. And I feel terrible for Reggie, because Reggie did all those things. To LZ's point, to your point,
man,
Reggie,
you know,
Bush
did,
didn't do anything.
Heisman. I'd have took that Heisman and carved it up in a lot of little pieces and sent that thing back to New York. I'm sure I would.
Like OJ. OJ could have done it.
Like, no, they didn't take OJ. Like, OJ still got his Heisman.
No, but he could have carved it up.
Oh, God, stop, boy.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Man, that man got off.
Allegedly. He was accused. He was alleged.
All right, sorry.
You're not going to tell me otherwise. Listen. That was an opportunity for the AD to address the real issue, which is the unfair exchange between a student athlete and the NCAA, whereas the student athlete is supposed to not notice.
He should have went, but he should have went hard
his
on
her image. Yes,
he should have went in hard. He should have went in hard on him. No question
yes.
about it.
Yes, and the fact is that what he was so focusing on was Reggie's feeling bad about this and apologizing. And it's like, dude, fight on. Fight. That's the first word, fight. You have rolled over so many times in a short period of time, you might be dizzy. You don't know if your head is up or down. You keep rolling over like that. I need to see you dig your heels in now, sir, and fight for something or someone. Fight for your football program. Fight for Reggie Bush. Not stop rolling over going, well, you know, the Pac-12, you know, this is just what we were three towards. Yes, yeah, we want to win, you know. And then Reggie, well, you know, he was really sorry. You know, no, the NCAA came after your family. You need to gut them.
Well, we went at them real hard, though, in the past. You know, Mike Garrett and those, they went at them hard. I mean, a lot of people went at them hard. But this Mike Bone, though, is the softball role to him. But I'm sure he's good buddies with all of them over at the NC2A anyway.
But look, there's a way to handle his reassociation with the university in a way that doesn't make it sound like you're doing him a favor. What it could have been is, look, today's the day that 10 years ran off the clock. It was a ridiculous penalty to begin with. The NCAA now has rules in place that's going to allow players to make money on their name and likeness, which is basically what Reggie Bush is doing. They were way behind the times. This penalty was absurd at the time. It's absurd right now. And the second we were able to put him back in, we did put him back in. If we could have done it the day before, we would have. If we could have done it the year before, we would have, because this penalty is bogus and it sucks, and we hated it then and we still hate it now. Reggie, we love having you back. Thank you for being a part of this family. Not, you know, Reggie has some
Travis for AD.
It's ridiculous that they're positioning this as they're being the magnanimous ones. They didn't do anything. It's so frustrating because it's so illogical. It's so dumb.
They took a gimme and they gave it away. They didn't, you know, it was like this was a layup from a PR perspective.
Well,
through a great deal. This was a layup.
And maybe Reggie's addressing it as he was sorry for everything that happened allowed the AD to address it the way that he did. You know, if Reggie had stood up and said, you know, the 10 years have passed, I didn't do anything like they claim, I'm glad to be back at the university, NC2A sucks, maybe there's a different message, but he didn't take it. Reggie didn't approach it that way either. So maybe Mr. Bone decided to capitalize on the way Reggie sent his message. Now it's easier for the AD to do it that way.
NASCAR has spoken out. Other individuals have spoken out, but not everybody is speaking loudly. You'll hear whose voice has been pretty quiet next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
So, Key, have you adopted the baby's sleep schedule? Like, if she goes down for a nap, do you curl up on the couch and grab an hour here or there where you can now? Have you gone back to the baby sleep schedule?
No, I can't get that. That won't happen. I just because I can't take a nap because she might fall asleep any minute. And then at the end of the day, what am I going to do? Fall asleep too? I mean, it's time
yes.
for my eyes or no, yes. but it's just it don't work like that because I got other things to do. I can't just sit around and sleep when she sleep. You know, I got other stuff to do. You
know, those first couple of days when they came home, I remember when baby would fall asleep and I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to lay right here on the couch until he or she wakes up again. And I'm going to grab an hour here or there. You got to go on their schedule, man.
Yeah. And I'm afraid that I get into a deep one. You know, I'm like, nah, I'll be all right. We'll get through it. As she grows, we'll get through it. It hurts though. Ooh, it hurts. My eyes hurt. You're talking about seeing five, I see 10 right now. I'm so tired.
All red and scratchy and sandy.
I'm tired. I rubbed my eyes 50 times already. I'm like, what should I do? Like, I don't drink coffee like that. So, like, what?
You better start.
I'm like, damn. Man, I've been up since 11:30 last night. I went to sleep. I went to sleep at like 9 something. And the next thing you know, it was 11:30.
Jorge, if he falls out during the show, you got to pot down his mic so we don't hear him snoring.
I already did that once. I already leaned my head back and closed my eyes at least twice already.
Yeah, that's bad news. All right, NASCAR said no more Confederate flags. We've seen a variety of leagues, teams, organizations come out and say we're not okay with what's going on, and we're going to actively try and change the situation that we're in. We're going to be anti-racist as an organization. We are going to identify racism and work hard to eliminate it. As opposed to being non-racist, we're going to be anti-racist. And really, it's been impressive with how many different people have stepped forward and said something. Jerry Jones, Cowboy owner Jerry Jones, has come under criticism for really being particularly quiet through all of this. Here's Ryan Clark on Get Up saying that Jerry Jones's silence speaks volumes.
For Jerry Jones to come out right now and make a statement and say that Black Lives Matter, to make a statement and say that there needs to be change in this world, I feel that would be going against what he believes. See, Jerry Jones is doing what the owners do. Jerry Jones is focusing on the people that he cares about. Those are the people that sit in the rooms that he sits in. Those are the people that gets to make decisions on what those black faces do. He's going to stand where he's always stood. He's not going to let the pressure of society, the pressure of his players, or the pressure of actual people making changes. He's going to stay where Jerry Jones is. He's going to be on his yacht. He's going to be rich, and he's going to be white.
Jerry Jones was very quick.
No lies detected, people.
Guys, Jerry was very quick to speak out the first time we had the anthem protest about how that was not going to happen on his team, on his watch, and the quickness has not been there this time around.
Well, he's in the middle of the ocean, man. He's on his yacht. He ain't had a chance to communicate. I would say this for Jerry. Jerry needs to address the situation. He needs to stand up and let us know what it really truly is because – you know, as I sit back and I've been knowing Jerry for a long time, I would have thought by now he would have addressed the situation, the issue based on what he did with his team, and everybody has to have their toes on the line, those statements now look way different than they did before. It makes him look like something different and something that I don't want to believe. So it's probably a good idea for him and Steven and the rest of the family to address it and address it strong and not just rely on the commissioner, Roger Goodell, to send a forced message out to the public that was forced by players for him to get up there and address it. If the players never addressed it, Roger Goodell would have never addressed it with the league. He'd have just sat in the background. So now Jerry has an opportunity to step up and let everybody know black lives do matter and we don't condone anything remotely close to what has been going on in our nation.
What you need to see here is embodied in Dez Bryant's quote. He says, and I quote, it's a Sports Illustrated story, "I know Jerry's heart. He's a compassionate person and he's not a racist," end of quote. And I haven't spent a lot of time around Jerry Jones. I've spoken to him briefly a few times, but not in depth. But from what I gather from everyone who has spent a lot of time with him, what Dez Bryant says is accurate. It just isn't working. There's really no space to walk around and say, I'm not a racist. When Dez Bryant says he's not a racist, that's exactly how we got here. A whole bunch of white people who are saying, I'm not a racist. That person may be a racist. That person may say the N-word, but not me. I would never do that. But then you continue to benefit off of that environment as if, you know, you might as well have said those words and have felt that way. That's what complicit racism does. You know, it fools you into thinking you're the good guy when all you're doing is feeding the monster just from a different way. And to say that Jerry Jones is not a racist is not a bad thing. It's just, in hell, even last year, that would have been a great thing to hear. Oh, great, Jerry Jones isn't a racist. Oh, that's nice. But today, in today's environment, we're not doing that Drew Brees stuff. We ain't doing that middle-of-the-road stuff. We ain't doing thoughts and prayers and diversity and inclusion statements anymore. We need you to roll up your sleeves and get dirty and fight and figure out what can you do to get rid of this as opposed to what you've been doing, which is saying that's not me.
And if you're waiting for the corporate partners to put pressure on you to do it, then it's insincere. If you're waiting for the absence of your comments to draw attention and everybody saying, hey, where are you on this? And it takes a day, a week, a month, however long it ultimately takes for him to say something, the sincerity is certainly called into question. That you, to just kind of sit and wait. We saw this with a bunch of other statements where teams and leagues, Drew Brees as an individual, made a statement and the reaction was, that's not good enough. What do you mean by that? And then you have to make another statement. You have to decide where you are on this, that if you're waiting for one of your big corporate partners to say, hey, listen, you got to say something about this, then I'm not really feeling it. I'm doing it because it's good for business. I want to keep company XYZ's money flowing into my account. So I'm going to say it because they want me to say it. But if I get bullied into position, then it's not sincere. I'm making an economic decision, not one based on decency and morality and being anti-racist.
Yeah, I think, you know, having known Jerry a little bit, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to use something calculated. And you say, well, he's not going to wait on the sponsor. I mean, he shouldn't sit around and wait on his sponsorship people like AT&T to tell him, what are you doing? I think how he's going to approach it is going to be business-like. He's not waiting on them to tell him what to say, but he certainly is communicating with them to find out what to say.
If you're hesitating saying something like Black Lives Matter and you got to weigh the cost of what that may mean, perhaps you need to think about what the calculus and all the elements in your formula happen to be and whether or not that's satisfactory for you. Now, it is a shame that in 2020, just simply being black is a political statement. You ain't got to say nothing. You ain't have to say nothing. You ain't got to quote nobody. You ain't got to be with. Just being black in certain spaces is a statement.
It's a little disappointing to see it take this long for Jerry to even say something. It's beyond disappointing. It's over time. We are now late in the fourth overtime and he still hasn't said anything, which is, you know, it's heartbreaking knowing him. It's just in knowing that your team predominantly is a makeup of a bunch of African Americans. Your team got a lot of brothers on it, man. You had a lot of success using a lot of brothers, you know, a whole bunch of success using a lot of brothers.
And Key, it's not like this is like an important part. The phrase Black Lives Matter just matter. It's not Black Lives are the best. It's not Black Lives can beat White Lives. It's just we matter. Are you trying to say we don't even matter?
Like I'm not saying anything.
That's like you know what I'm saying? Like it's not even that hard of a concept to consider. It's not your life doesn't matter. It's not that there's a hierarchy of lies. That's not that, none of that is attached to the phrase. It just simply say their lives matter. Our lives matter. Why is that controversial? Why do you need to go to a PR team to figure out whether or not black people matter?
All right, we'll continue that conversation. There's a lot more there as well, including Richard Sherman's comments that we'll hear coming up a little bit later on as well. But next, another snake draft. My comeback starts now. Worst movie sequels of all time. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, everybody loves a great movie. And every time you get a great movie, you know that's just a matter of time before they run it back and try to put it together again. So another edition of The Morning Show Snake Draft. We've got the worst movie sequels of all time, Raj.
Yeah, that's right. Worst movie sequels. Obviously, we were talking about Matrix 4 coming out and Keanu Reeves' excitement for it. So we all spoke about Matrix 2, what a dud that was. And you guys brought it up. It gave me a little inspiration for this. Some of the worst movie sequels of all time. Travis, you're going to go first here. Key, welcome back, Big Daddy. And LZ will be at the end with two picks because you know what this is.
It's a snake draft.
Who won the last snake draft?
We had one with an asterisk by it, but then we had the one John won, Ireland won, which is another asterisk, but Ireland won the snake draft. We had Friday when we did best sports apologies. He won that one going away. Why, so go ahead.
Why are my landslide victory got to get an asterisk?
LZ, it was a shortened season. It's like the equivalent of a 50 exactly. game baseball season. you were the one making the case. All right. So, did you say I'm going first, Raj?
You're first, Travis.
Okay, so this may sink me from the very beginning, but I'm taking it number one because I truly believe only is this the worst movie sequel I've ever seen, it's arguably the worst movie I've ever seen, period. Wow. And it comes on the heels of one of my all-time favorite movies. One of my favorite movies, and it's dated, yes. Caddyshack is a classic movie with classic characters that if you are a golfer, you still hear people repeat the lines from that movie 40 years after it ran. Caddyshack 2 is the worst movie ever put on film. You cannot convince me that there has ever been anything worse. It is aggressively unfunny. There are none of the characters from the original movie except for Chevy Chase, who's on it for about 3 seconds and obviously is incredibly hostile to be there from the beginning. It is just a dreadful piece of movie making. So I'm taking Caddyshack 2 with my first pick.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I hear you. I've heard that multiple times and very disappointed for people that love Caddyshack, like you say. So,
indeed.
All right. So, Key, that brings us to you. What is your worst sequel of all time, sir?
The worst of all time?
Yeah.
I would have to go Police Academy 7.
That's a good choice.
it was not good. It was lame. It was sloppy. I mean, it was the weak. Just put it that way. Police Academies 1 and 2 was cool, but when you get to 7 by then, come on, man, stop.
Yeah, a lot of those guys were pigeonholed into those roles, and they were getting that check.
You just giving somebody a check. Here, man, we're going to make some money.
Okay. All right, LZ, that brings us to you, and you got two picks because you know what time it is.
It's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to go ham on this series because I think that the sequels are so bad that I'm going to use both my picks on the same franchise.
I like it.
So the worst sequel of all time is Matrix 2, followed closely by The Matrix 3. So I'm picking those two sequels out the gate as just being awful.
Yeah, I remember Matrix 3. I mean, none of them would die. They each died like 5 times. And I was like, when is this going to end? It went like for like 45 minutes too long of each person taking turns dying and coming back.
A glitch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a glitch, like Jorge says. All right, what do you got? Oh, so those are your two picks, 2 and 3?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I feel you. All right. That brings me back to you. Huh?
Because we can't just say the franchise, right? Do we have to be specific or do we just say the franchise?
You picked your two. You're done. Move along.
Yeah, 2 and 3. That's what I was making sure. All right, that's fine. Okay. Matrix 2 and then Matrix 3. That works. All right, Key brings us back to you. What do you got?
You know, I don't know how many of you guys watched the movie Speed in 1994. It's pretty cool. Speed was good, right? Keanu Reeves. It was a cool deal. But then they came out with Cruise Control. Somebody on a big old ship. I mean, come on. That was so lame and weak.
Really? I didn't know they made the movie. Oh, okay. Yeah. Breaking news. I didn't know
Jason
that.
Patrick.
Oh, all right. All right. So Speed 2, was that 2 or?
It was Speed 2. It was called Cruise Control.
All right. Cruise Control. And that sounds
awful.
Yeah,
it was on the water.
Okay. Travis, that brings us to you. You got two picks, the pivotal picks for you. You're on the swing because you know what it is.
It's a snake draft.
Yes, okay. That's right.
This is like we've talked about some of these. The originals, you don't make sequels of bad movies, but there are sequels from good movies, and then there are sequels from legendary movies. The Godfather is arguably one of the great films of all time. The Godfather 2 is one of the great films of all time. They actually were one of the few people that got the sequel exactly right. There's people that believe that the second one's better than the first one. They're both fantastic. Godfather 3 is an abomination. It's just a terrible, terrible film. So I'm going to take Godfather 3 as my next selection. And then from there, this one, again, is maybe it's a little bit nostalgic for me because I remember it from when I was a kid. The original, fantastic, still considered one of the great movies of its generation. Jaws was a classic, right? That you've got Robert Shaw, you've got Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider, just a great Steven Spielberg
movie. Has people scared of the water to this day, including yourself,
absolutely,
I believe.
And I'm firmly in that category. You're right. The second one, kind of whatever, they ran it back. It was essentially the same movie. They made a movie called Jaws 3D, which was very early in 3D technology, where the shark somehow broke into SeaWorld and started eating people in the sea. So it is. I don't know how to describe it other than that. And I'm going to take Jaws 3D as my next one.
Wow. All right. Okay. So Jaws 3D. I didn't even know that one existed. You guys are enlightening me. Movies I didn't know exist. Keyshawn, it brings us to you for your third pick. Who you got is the worst sequel ever.
Man, if you can remember in 2000, it was Big Mama's House with Martin Lawrence. You know? And then all of a sudden, it came out Big Mama's House 2, where she was on the beach laying down and doing the whole thing as a cop, undercover cop. That movie was so bad in Big Mama House 2. One was cool. The original was fine. But 2 was it was probably one of the worst movies ever put together.
Okay. All right, so Big Mama 2 for Key. LZ, what do you got for your third and fourth pick?
All right, so, you know, sometimes when you have a sequel that takes a while to come out, it's a good thing, you know, and sometimes it's an awful thing. Independence Day Resurgence was an awful thing to happen to. It was a perfect movie for a perfect time. They decided to do it all over again. And it was just awful. So the Independence Day sequel, just absolutely terrible.
And the first one set records. All right.
And the first one set records. The first one was fine. The first one was perfectly fine. It was fun, blah, 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 blah.
All right.
And then for my final pick, I can't believe that they ruined this franchise. Transformers, the ones with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
They're all just terrible. Age of Extinction or whatever the hell they call it, or the Dark Side of the Moon, whatever. Listen, those Transformers sequels are god-awful, and they're so bad, even my habit of stopping on movies I've seen before just to rewatch, I don't even have that with these movies. I just click right by it.
Okay. Yeah, that is bad. I gave up on it at that point, too. Keyshawn, your final pick.
Well, I could go a couple different ways here. But I think you guys would enjoy Basic Instinct, right? You enjoy that with Sharon Stone.
Sure.
Yeah, that was right. But then in 2007, I think it was, they came out with Basic Instinct 2. After the original one aired in the early 90s, you know, a decade or so later, they come out with, like, Basic Instinct 2. It wasn't even the same. You know, Thriller, like she was hot and sexy back in the early 90s. And then they gave me like this old grandma Sharon Stone.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So Basic Instinct 2 for your final pick. And then Travis, your final pick. You know, this is important. Go on, Travis.
I do. I got two that I can choose from here. I'm going to go with this one because this is actually the third movie in the series. The first one was good. The second one was not terrible, so it certainly doesn't fall in, but then they pushed it too far. I'm talking about Superman 3, the original Christopher Reeve movie. The Richard Pryor Superman movie. I don't need to see Richard Pryor in the Superman movie. I don't need to see another Superman story after the first one was fine, kind of a classic Lex Luthor. The second one was kind of cool with the three people spinning in the mirror and General outer space Zod. And General Zod having superpowers. I like those guys. Superman 3 and really anything after Superman 3 were absolutely dreadful. So I'm going with Superman 3.
Okay, and guys, as you know, you can go to ESPN LA's Twitter feed and vote. But first, I just have a quick message for America. Now, this last 2 weeks is about forgiveness. Would you guys not agree? It's about forgiveness. Yes. The NFL forgave Drew Brees. We forgive a lot of people. We people are on the course of forgiving NASCAR for the Confederate flag. America, I need you to forgive Travis. He made a vital he made a bit of a mistake weeks ago. He hasn't recovered, but Travis is like, he's the Robin to our Batman and Wonder Woman. We need him forgiven. We need him to be forgiven and get a chance in these polls. So just vote with your hearts, people, and just learn to forgive as America has forgiven. Go ahead, Travis.
I appreciate the support, Raj. Thank you. But here's what I can say. If anybody's seen my four movies, they're going to know that I got a pretty good list this time because they are, without exception, unspeakably awful. So I like my chances right here. NASCAR did the right thing. We'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.